We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Riverfront. This is episode number 417 of the world's most dangerous podcast. I'm your host, Chad Dotson. With me for this live opening day special extravaganza from RedLegNation.com, RedsMinorLeagues.com, it's Doug Gray. How are you, Doug?
I am great, Chad. I mean, we've got real life, actual regular season baseball happening. I could not be more excited.
Well, I appreciate you jumping on here during the game. We're going to be, you know, watching a little bit here with those of you that may want to jump on with us. If you're on YouTube or Facebook, you can chat, and we'll maybe be able to answer some of those questions, hopefully. But so far, so good for the Reds right now. The best thing that's happened in Reds baseball in probably the last, I don't know, say 30, 40 years just happened. And here's what it was. Joey Votto was mic'd up and just gave an interview during the game, and he would not shut up, and it was glorious. It was amazing. Did you get to catch that, Doug, before we jumped on?
I did, and that's the only thing that I'm ever going to say negative about this podcast is that it's unfortunately keeping me from hearing more Joey Votto live interview. That's it, because obviously I need to be able to hear you, and I can't have both things going on at once.
Yeah, I wish that I hadn't promised 9:30 to begin this thing because, I was like, oh, no, I'm trying to finish listening to him before we started. That's maybe we started a little bit late, but it was really incredible if you didn't get to see it. It's just Votto showing his personality, which he's been doing more, you know, in recent years. But I know some people on the social medias and maybe in my text messages were upset about him doing an interview during the game. He's not focusing on the game, I guess, but this is the type of thing that baseball needs to do. What they just did with Joey Votto is he showed more of his, charisma, more of his personality than you see from baseball players ever. And this is what baseball needs, I think. And this is not what I expected to talk about, but what do you think?
Anything that's going to get more fans engaged is everything that baseball needs to do. I think this is great. I love it. It seems that you enjoyed it. But Major League Baseball, whoever's running it, they seem to have problems in gauging what fans actually want out of the product. Instead, they're like, oh, hey, have 19 different streaming services show our games. And if you live in Iowa, you don't get to watch any of them. Sorry.
Do we know anyone that lives in Iowa that can't watch them?
I mean, my buddy Phil lives in Iowa, but I don't know if he's blacked out of this particular game or not. Shout out
ESPN,
Phil.
ESPN, maybe not.
Probably not. ESPN is they tend to have that on most cable or satellite feeds no matter where you live. So
if you see the comments over on the right, if you're watching on wherever you're watching, you should be able to see the comments now that are coming in. And one comes from our buddy Calvin Medcalf. I just got a note here. He says, "Morning, guys. Doug, is it morning where you are?"
Time's not real, so sure. Let's go with that. The sun's not out yet, but let's just go with yes. Good morning, Calvin.
Yeah, Calvin's actually in the United Kingdom, where it is actually the morning. He's watching the staying up to watch the old Red Legs. So staying up, I guess we're five. They're 5 hours ahead of us, I believe. So is that right, Calvin? You can tell us. As we are, it's the middle of the fifth, and the Reds are up 3-1 if you're watching with us. And, you know, good start to the game so far. Good start to the season. I got no complaints.
No, none at all.
So let's just briefly talk about the Reds' opening day lineup, which was a little bit interesting to me. I can't say that I dislike it, but a little interesting to me. Jonathan India leading off. We're good with that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Aristides Aquino playing right field and batting second. Now, I was surprised by that.
I was surprised by the spot in the lineup. Being in right field, not necessarily just because, you know, there's a lefty on the mound, even though Max Fried has reverse splits. And he actually pitches better against right. But yeah. Him being number two surprised me.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be Naquin most days, obviously. But against the lefty, Max Fried. Kind of blew my mind to see him in second, which, you know, he's doing fine. Tommy Pham hitting third, playing left field. Joey Votto hitting cleanup. Tyler Stevenson fifth. Now that 3-4-5, I actually thought we might see Pham in the two hole. I was interested to see that, but I like Pham, Votto, Stevenson there in the middle of the order. And then Nick Senzel, center field, Mike Moustakas, DH, Kyle Farmer, shortstop, and Brandon Drury, third base, hitting ninth. So, I think a lot of the, you can talk a little bit about this if you want, a lot of the projections out there showing the Reds to maybe have a decent offense, and that's not an awful lineup there. They should be able to score some runs, I think, right?
Yeah. I think that the offense is fine. Not a world beater. Nobody's going to confuse them with the Dodgers, but they're not going to be a bad offense. I think the one thing that I do like about the lineup is I think they're pretty deep in terms of guys that have plate discipline, that are patient hitters. And I really do think that they're going to work starting pitchers a lot this season. Especially early on in the year, that really might play to their benefit because guys aren't stretched out and you're really going to get through some bullpens, particularly early on when, you know, starters are only throwing, you know, 75 to 85 pitches. And bullpens, they're really good these days, but, you know, they're a reason that those guys are bullpen pitchers too.
Yeah, you know, cheers, Joey Gaudetz. I see there. You're right. You know, Tommy Pham, again, I'd rather have Jesse Winker playing left field, all things considered, but I like Tommy Pham. I think he's going to fit in well. I got no issues with him. So anyway, first game, so far, so good. I wanted to, before answer some questions, and these friends at Riverfront City. You can join us and get some shenanigans related a bit. Happy evening, says John. Wired wire want to be when we do that again this year. So that's the question I asked you, Doug Gray. How exciting is it going to be when the Reds go wire to wire?
I mean, look, I'm not going to say that I'm starting the parade for it, but if they go wire to wire and win the whole thing, I'll at least be at the parade for it. I'm going to love it. I'm ready for it. I'm here for it. And until proven otherwise, I'm expecting it to happen.
You've got to expect it to happen. I can't imagine any reason why it would not happen. So, yeah. Can we break down the opening day roster here for a little bit?
Sure.
You know, why not, right? Because the Reds did come finally. Obviously, they had to release their opening day roster so that they could play opening day. I think that's how that works.
You say that, but the AAA Louisville Bats emailed me this afternoon with their official opening day roster about an hour before the third game of the season. So I'm not necessarily sure that you're right on that, Chad.
Sorry if we have video problems. Not sure what the issue is. I see some of y'all are saying that. We've got to figure that out. I bet the problem is I've got a kid streaming upstairs, is my guess.
Kids.
We got to stop that. So I'm going to send a text message. This is real-time parenting that you're getting to watch here. So let's talk about the opening day roster. we're gonna go first with the. I'm not sure what that was.
That was my watch going off.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Boy, I tell you what. See, this is when we go live. This is what we get. Okay. So let's talk about the four starters first of all. Tyler Mahle, Reaver San Martin, Vladimir Gutierrez, Hunter Green. Precisely the starting rotation that we all expected to begin the season when last season ended, right?
I mean, that's what I foresaw. I can't speak for anybody else, but yeah, that's exactly how I saw it lining up, you know, on October 4th last year. I was like, yeah, this is easy to see.
Yeah, you're lying.
Was it that obvious?
It was. Okay. So, sorry, I'm still parenting in real time. All right. So anyway, Reaver San Martin.
Well, yeah. Let's talk about it. You know, he's not your prototypical starting pitcher in today's game. I mean, he throws 87 to 91 miles an hour. You know, doesn't have an outstanding secondary pitch that really jumps out at you. I mean, not that he has a bad secondary offerings, you know, but, you know, nobody's going to confuse his breaking ball with, you know, Clayton Kershaw's. But, you know, he's got a funky delivery that kind of throws you off a little bit. He's left-handed, and he gets a ton of ground balls, and he throws strikes. I mean, he's probably not ever going to be a top-of-the-rotation guy, but, I mean, realistically, if he's your fifth guy, and I know he's starting tomorrow, so he's your number two, but none of that really matters. Like, you know, after the first series, nobody matches up. It doesn't matter. You know, if he's the fifth guy, you know, the swing man, you know, you can do a lot worse than that probably.
Yeah. Again, he's a guy that he's 25. He'll be 26 soon, like within days. He'll be 26 years old, I think. He's a guy that you don't mind having as depth, and now he's the number two starter on the Reds. Okay. Not literally. Well, literally he is, but no. That's when he's... That's when he's starting. So anyway, Reaver San Martin, again, a guy that I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do, you know, lefty and is what he is. The big name there in that initial rotation, of course, I mean, we can talk about Tyler Mahle, who's looked pretty good most of the night tonight. But we can also talk about Vladimir Gutierrez, who we've talked about plenty here on the show, who had just really a rookie season that, there's nothing to be upset about with his rookie season, but the big name, of course, is Hunter Green. So, and we talked about this a little bit, but are you as excited as I am that Hunter Green is A, healthy, and B, in the Reds starting rotation?
I mean, I don't know exactly how excited you are, so that's tough to answer, but I'm looking forward to seeing it. You know, I think that, you know, in an ideal world, he probably, you know, is maybe back in AAA, you know, give him a little bit more time, a little bit more seasoning, just because, and that's nothing against Hunter Green. It's just, you know, he just has not pitched much since he was drafted. You know, some of that is due to the injury. Some of it was due to how 2020 played out, you know, and he did pitch at the alternate site, but that's not the same thing as pitching in games. You know, they try to, you know, replicate game scenarios, but it's not the same. You're facing your teammates over there. The competitiveness is there a little bit, but I promise you, Hunter Green wasn't thinking, I need to get this guy back off the plate. I'm going to throw it inside, you know, throw 102 inside to, you know, Jonathan India. He wasn't going to do that because that's your guy. You don't want to risk, hey, I'm going to hit this guy in the hands. And so it's just, well, it's not quite the same. And I think that, you know, I think Hunter will be fine out there. He's probably gonna have some ups and downs like anybody's going to in their rookie showing, but ideally, you know, you would probably prefer to see him get a little bit more seasoning in the minors. But, you know, one of the things that I really did like to hear from him, and I mean, we saw it in spring training too, is that he worked on his changeup in the offseason, and he seems to have a lot more confidence in it. You know, watching him last year, he did not throw the changeup much. You didn't really see it to right-handed hitters at all last year. And even in very small, you know, sample size in spring training, I'm pretty sure that I saw more changeups to right-handers in spring training than I saw all of last year, and I watched every single one of his starts.
Yeah, you know, Hunter Green, Tyler Malley, I was going to say, the Reds are through five innings. Tyler Malley's giving up one run. Reds are up 3-1 still. Yeah, Hunter Green, bring it on. Can't wait to watch him. He's going to struggle sometimes. Can't wait to watch him. I don't care. Some people were, I don't know if surprise is the right word, but we heard a lot of, we saw some commentary about, wait a minute, there's only four. And this happens every year, you know. The Reds never name their starting five because they don't need a fifth starter for a while. But some people saying, Reaver San Martin, why not Nicola Dolo? Well, Nicola Dolo is with the team. He's on the taxi squad, and the Reds will have to make a move to get him on the 40-man roster before he pitches. But he's going to pitch soon. He's with the team. When the Reds need a number five starter, he's going to be the guy, and that's another guy that I'm excited to watch.
Yeah, it feels almost, and I hesitate to say this because of how it worked out, but you know, very 2016, 2017-ish, where it feels like the Reds have a lot of guys that are, you know, highly touted pitching prospects that are right there. And, you know, Nicol Dolo's right. He's right up there in the top 50 prospects in all of baseball. And, you know, we're going to get a chance to see him here real soon.
Good question from Brian Bowdy. If Major League Baseball mic'd up players in the 1970s, which Reds player would have been suspended first for what he said on air? And why is it Pete Rose?
Ooh, can I go first?
Yes, you can go first.
Because he'd have been caught saying, you know, I've got $3,000 on, somebody to win this game.
You're all wrong. The answer is actually, this is surprising, but the answer, the first Reds player to have been suspended would have been Dan Dreesen. I'm sorry to have to tell you that, but Dan, it would have been.
Okay, hold on now.
Danny Dreesen.
Would they really have mic'd up Dan Dreesen, though? On that team? Come on, Dad.
You're right. It probably would have been Bill Plummer or someone. I can't think of anyone else. So let's look at the relievers quickly. And what's funny about this relief corps for the Reds is that it's a bunch of guys. There's not a single one that was on this roster at the beginning of last year, on opening day last year, which, you know, that's a good thing given how last year's bullpen was. But a lot of uncertainty, a lot of unknowns, and I don't know that I've got any thoughts. Luis Sessa, you know, we saw him some last year. Good arm, like that guy. Jeff Hoffman, we saw him. He is what he is. Justin Wilson came over from the Yankees midseason. Is what he is. I like having that. He's a lefty out of the bullpen. I like having him. One name that's interesting that I want to let you comment on, because you complained about this one incessantly last year, and you were correct, and that's Dari Moretta, came out of spring training. So what do we expect about that guy from that guy?
I mean, I'm ready to see what he can actually get done. You know, he went like 3 months without giving up an earned run in AAA last year. And somehow the Reds didn't call him up till the final week of the season, which makes no sense to me. I don't understand how that's a possibility given how bad the Reds bullpen was last year. But, you know, I just want to see what happens. He's earned his shot, and I really like the fastball breaking ball. He's got a change up that he'll show sometimes. So he's kind of one of those weird three pitch relief pitchers, and he throws strikes. So let's see what happens.
Tony Santion's another one in the bullpen, and who's a guy that I like, who's had some success in the minor leagues and got a live arm, and I like what I saw out of him last year. Joey Gaditz asks us a question in the chat here: potential closer? You know, I think yes, given who we have on this roster, but you know, I'm not sure where he lands on the. On the totem pole. What do you think? What do you think, Doug?
I'm going to say no, just based off of what David Bell kind of hinted at. It sounded like he was kind of leaning towards using Santion in the same role that they used TJ Antone in. Just kind of is that fireman that could come in and give you an inning or two in the, you know, middle relief, which, you know, that's not exactly
better.
Yeah. We say middle relief, and initially you're kind of like, well, that's kind of an insult to a guy. You know, he's only a middle reliever, but that's not how teams are using those guys anymore. You know, they figured out that, hey, just because it's the seventh inning doesn't mean it's not the most important inning of relief. Because if that's, you know, the 2-3-4 hitters, you know, that's a lot more important than facing the 7-8-9 guys in the ninth inning when you're ahead. So I do think that they're probably going to have a few guys that are going to get a decent amount of saves. But it did sound like David Bell was kind of leaning towards Santion being that, you know, that fireman, not necessarily, hey, you're the ninth inning guy.
Yeah, and you know, there are things, plenty of things to criticize David Bell for. I'm happy to criticize him. He's just he's about as average as a manager you can expect, which is, that's not bad. You know, I would like the Reds to be average this year. That'd be fine. But as Joe says, he doesn't plan on using traditional closer. I'm completely happy about it. He was willing to use his better relievers last year in high leverage situations. How long have we been screaming for that? For years. And
I'm about to turn 38. So like 36 years at least.
God, you are old.
I really am.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's not your fault.
Age. I'm never.
You're not my
age.
Dad.
That's this. This is true. You finally said something true on the podcast. So, but the point is, Ton. I was hopeful he could be a starter because you know he had some success as a starter in the minor leagues. But he's a guy with an arm that really can help this bullpen. And I think be a mainstay for a while. Yeah. Hey, look at that. Mike Tacos got a hit. Looks like it was a screamer.
Hey, it all counts, right?
That's right. That's right. I'm driving the box score, right, Brian? So who else next in the bullpen that I wanted to talk about? How about Alexis Diaz? This is an actual player. Alexis Diaz. He's 25 years old. He's from Puerto Rico. And by the way, Nate Dotson is not with us tonight because he's in Puerto Rico doing some planning for his wedding down there.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. Exciting. That's where, oh goodness. I got to make
congrats, sure. Congrats, Nate.
I got to look up the date of his wedding. Are we going to be podcasting from Puerto Rico? That's exciting. So Alexis Diaz is a player and, you know,
he's a player. Yes.
He has a uniform. He made the team. That's about all I can tell you about him. I'm not incredibly impressed by his stats.
Would you like me to chime in a little bit? I've got some things.
This is where I'm leading you to, is that I see his stats, and I'm not particularly, no, Joe, you don't want us to live stream that wedding. I look at his stats, and I'm not that compelled, but I'm presuming, because you're RedsMinorLeagues.com, that you're going to be able to tell us a little bit more about Alexis Diaz, who is a guy.
Yeah, so Edwin Diaz's little brother. Oh.
Hold on, stop. Kyle Farmer, 2-for-3 tonight, P. All right, Alexis Diaz.
So it's Edwin Diaz's little brother. We're pretty sure that they're the first pair of Puerto Rican brothers to pitch in the major leagues. So that's a fun little tidbit of information. He throws mid 90s, tops out about 98, 99. Good slider. Another one of those guys. He's got a change up. He's a former starting pitcher. I want to say he had 70 strikeouts and 42 and 2/3 innings last year in Double A. Again, one of those guys you probably would have liked to have seen him pitch in Triple A, but I don't know if anybody's seen the Reds injured list, but it's got like 412 players on it. So some guys are, you know, they're getting pushed up maybe a little bit sooner than the organization would have liked. But, you know, I've really liked his stuff for a long time. I think it's just going to come down to, you know, is he able to throw strikes to major league hitters? You know, he does rely on that slider a lot. And, you know, that's one of those things where sometimes that's a chase pitch for guys and major league hitters don't always chase it. So is he going to be able to make that adjustment to throw it closer to the strike zone?
There you go. That's everything you need to know. Daniel Duarte. This is a guy that I love. Okay. This is a guy that I love, and not because of his stats. It's not because of what he brings, but he's got a pretty good story. Can you quickly tell us the Daniel Duarte story? He's from Mexico.
So a year ago. Yeah. A year ago, he was not playing professional baseball anywhere. He was a free agent.
Same as me.
Same as you. But here's where it changed. He did sign a professional contract. He was playing professional baseball in Mexico shortly after April began. And then the Reds picked him up in late June. And he barely pitched before going to Tokyo to pitch in the Olympics with Team Mexico. And then he came back to the United
States.
Same
as me.
Double A and Triple A. Wait a minute. When did that happen?
Maybe not.
Okay. You know, came back from the Olympics, pitched in Double A and Triple A. Season ended. Reds were like, man, we really like this guy, and they had to protect him from the Rule 5 draft, added him to the 40-man roster, and hey, you know, he pitched well in spring training, and now he's big leaguer. Yeah, he went 1 year and went from I'm not playing professional baseball at all to big leaguer. Fantastic.
Good for him. I love it. We shouldn't spend so much time on the bullpen because it's the bullpen. Ryan Hendricks, 27 years, he was not particularly impressive in his debut last year with the Reds bullpen, but he's a guy that throws with his right arm, and good for him. Art Warren, you've actually seen it. Art Warren, we got a glimpse of him last year, was actually pretty good last year in limited 26 games, I think. He's a 29-year-old, I'm an Art Warren stan, as the kids would say.
I get it. For being an older guy, he really did kind of surprise me. Usually when guys don't make their debuts until their late 20s, even relievers, you don't expect the stuff that Art Warren showed last year. I really do think that he's going to be a key part to this bullpen.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the next one I want to ask you about is favorite player on the 2022 Cincinnati Reds, the final member of the bullpen. Literally my favorite player. He's a 31-year-old. He's from Conyers, Georgia. He's, I don't even know, number 45. I don't know what his number is. Number 45 in your programs, number one in your hearts, Buck Farmer. Buck Farmer. He's my favorite farmer.
The Reds are trying to collect guys named Farmer.
Why in the world? This guy, he's pitched for Detroit for 7 years, 8 years, with a 5.33 ERA, and somehow has pitched 241 games. But, he's got one of the best beards I've ever seen. And I'm just, listen, Buck Farmer's my guy. I'm sorry. Any comments on Buck Farmer?
Not really. I mean, I feel like, being Chad's favorite player is enough, right?
It's something. Actually, there's one other reliever, and that's a guy who actually, I'm kind of interested in this guy, Hunter Strickland. He's like 72 years old, but he's had some success. I don't know. Is he too old to pitch? Is he too old to not be collecting Social Security? What happened here? What did I miss? Oh my goodness!
Brandon Drury just hit a three-run home run, and I missed it. That huge free agent signing by the Reds. Wait, was he?
We were going to talk about him as we analyze this roster here in a moment. But who is he? I don't know. Is he a real guy? Is it a person? He made an error earlier.
He's one of those guys that I made up that you always talk about.
Right. He evidently exists, and the Reds are now winning 6-1. Oh, my goodness. I like it is as insurmountable as the UNC being 15 at halftime against Kansas. That's a college basketball comment.
Yeah, that was
– I didn't watch the tournament this year because there were no good teams in the tournament this year. So Hunter Strickland, whatever, we don't have to talk about him.
Yeah, let's just hope he pitches well.
Backup catcher? Wait a minute, starting catcher. I guess we love I'm desperately in love with him. Aramis Garcia is the backup catcher. He's 29. He, has played 69 games with the Giants and the A's. He decided to move out of the back and go nuts during Red spring training with the power. And he's the backup catcher. Okay, whatever. I don't have any comments about Aaron. What's his last name again? Yeah. Ramirez?
Garcia.
Oh, no, Garcia. I know. That was a dumb joke. Okay, so yeah.
Yeah.
Any comments about, the Reds backup catcher?
I hope Tyler Stevenson stays healthy.
Yeah. Here's my thing. I'm going to tell you my thing about the backup catcher position. Okay, Aramis, I hope you're great. Who cares, the backup catcher? But this year, would have been a great year for the Reds not to cheap out and refuse to pick up the option on Tucker Barnhart. Because you could play Tucker Barnhart 40% of the games. You at least know you're going to get elite defense. And, you know, he hit the ball last year. But he is what he is. We know Tucker Barnhart. But you could shift him around. You could let Tyler Stevens at catcher. But then with the DH and with him being a backup vote, you could get him in the lineup every day, Tyler Stevenson. And so I wish we had better option backup catcher. Am I really complaining about the backup catcher? I'm sorry. I don't know where I was going with this, Doug. I'll let you yell at me or whatever you want.
It's your show. You can do whatever you want to. You make the rules.
Okay, so infielders. It's Kyle Farmer, Jonathan India, Mike Moustakas, Joey Votto. We have Colin Moran. Another good. No. Can you hear me? Are we going choppy again?
I can hear you now. You are Sorry. Going choppy for me at least.
I'm going to go upstairs and I'm going to have a harshly worded conversation with my children. Looks like Joe Randa's joining us. Joe, welcome.
How we doing? How we doing?
We're doing great. The Reds are up 6-1. I mean, what's the complaint about?
I think I'm missing Joey Votto being mic'd up.
Again?
We talked about that earlier. That was my only complaint about the podcast.
Oh, this is, by the way, I said he's for some reason he says his name is Joe Randa. This is actually Chris Garber. Welcome, Chris.
Hello.
Now, Chris has been, unfortunately, undergoing some, he had some parenting duties, I think, and I have not been doing mine as well as we've discussed all podcasts. But you didn't get to see Joey Votto mic'd up earlier; it was glorious.
I was coaching one of my son's baseball practice tonight, and as I came in the door, the other son was telling me Joey Votto was entertaining him.
Oh, incredibly entertaining! Incredibly. So,
am I violating FCC rules right now?
Probably, but I don't care. What is that there? Well, it's what particular brand we're looking at here?
This is a Bodie from the Columbus Brewing Company, a delicious double IPA. It really is good.
Man, I need a triple IPA. I can't deal with just double. That's lame.
Just have two of them.
There you go. Doug, you're welcome. Stick around if you want.
No, but
you can chat if you want. But I know you had some other things you were going to do tonight. Aristides Aquino, Jake Fraley, Tyler Naquin, Tommy Pham, Nick Senzel. Anyone want to have a requiem for Shogo Akiyama?
I wish him the best.
No.
No.
Hello?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Chad's been having some problems. I don't know.
Yes. I've been having some issues. So I'm going to leave and Doug and Chris can finish this thing. No, Doug, if you have to get out of here, I understand.
Yes, I do need to go, fellas. It was
all right,
fun.
Doug. Enjoy.
Take care. See you guys next time.
Thanks, Doug. We will now bring on full time the B team, Chris Garber. Chris, it was a game tonight?
Just a practice.
He was playing. Was it actual game? Just a practice. Okay. All right.
Just a practice.
Good practice.
Little indoor batting cages kind of a thing.
What's interesting is tonight we in the rain on the varsity team here at his little high school. So,
good. What position?
You know, big night for the designated hitter. So, nice. Position. He made no errors. He had three good at bats and went over. But liner to left field, a couple flyouts to center field. No, good at bats. I'm proud of the boy. So
trust the process.
Absolutely. But he's still tied with me for varsity hits at all time career hits. He'll get there.
Yeah.
So
DH was my best
anyway. Position, but... yeah. Well, I all I could do was field. I could go. So the Reds 6-1 now, bottom of the sixth. They've looked pretty good so far. Tyler Mahle looked good. Luis Cespedes is in the game now. The Reds look good against Max Fried. And, you know, there'll be some clips, I'm sure, online, Chris, but you need to go to murder. That guy, man, is just – he's a different breed.
I got to admit, I don't quite understand what's going on.
It's weird.
I've been seeing some of the Votto TikToks, and I don't know that I understand what exactly is happening now.
It's it's you know, for so long Joey Votto was kind of an enigma, you know, a mystery wrapped in a riddle, covered in secret sauce, and now he's like going all in. I will be, because I think it's hilarious. I think it's fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of Votto's social media experiment. But yeah, then we have the mic'd up situation tonight, and he was funny to me. I mean, he was talking like way too much. You know, he wouldn't shut up. It was great. I don't know what's happening, but I'm here for it, I guess is what I'll say.
I'm all for it. Now, what's the games on ESPN 2?
Yes, the Deuce. Midlife Crisis.
They got leather jackets.
Yeah, I think so. And Joey said it was a midlife crisis. That's what he said on the show tonight. And but I don't know. I'm here for it. I've had my midlife crisis. I get it. So now we've been talking about the what's been going on here. We've been talking about the opening day roster. We've kind of gotten through all that. We haven't mentioned yet, and I feel like we probably should, the billboard thing. So I'm going to bring you in on this. And you know, I've stayed away from it because some people are like, it's negative, and it's opening day, and I want to be positive. Fun watching actual Reds baseball tonight. But the billboard thing has gone crazy today. I did a couple of interviews with two local television stations about the billboard. And if you haven't seen it yet, I'm going to try to see if this works here. There it is.
Yeah, there it is.
There is the actual billboard that we did a GoFundMe for. And it's there. Videoed it today. And they did a couple stories. And I don't know. It was interesting. I've tried really hard to distinguish the team who, you know, the play can't blame them. I want to cheer for the laundry thing, right? Versus the Blenny. But I did want to say it's been a crazy week. You guys funded the billboard. It's actually, the whole thing is ludicrous. I can't believe that we've actually done this, but there you go. Chris, any thoughts?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's hilarious, first off. I'm glad that well, you tell me. I mean, what kind of reaction are you getting? Are you getting people who are ticked off about it? Or, are, you know, the only people you're hearing from are the ones who think it's funny and are kind of on board with it?
Well, they had some comments on the Fox 19 broadcast from some people who thought the Reds need to stay the course, trust the process, give Bob Castle any more time. Okay.
So was the name Phil C?
Yeah, right. No, I've not gotten it. Most people take it for what it's worth. And something that I said I also did another interview with ABC 9 in Cincinnati that should be on at 11 o'clock tonight and then tomorrow. You know, and my thing was just this. Do we expect Bob Kesselin to drive by that billboard, see it, and immediately start shopping the team?
My God, that's a good idea.
Why did I think of that before? No. What I think's fun about it is that we had a couple hundred people, most of them donating $5, $10, $25 for a chance to.
Why'd you take $1,800 from me?
That was the bulk of the GoFundMe. I'm sorry. I sold him one.
Everybody had to give that much. Not
right. Fair. It's funny to me that some people got really mad about me doing this, but most people have taken it in the spirit for which it was intended, which is just, let some regular Reds fans make a statement. We don't expect anything out of this, but it started out as a joke here and it ended with an actual billboard on I-75.
I gotta admit that when I saw that the story on one of the websites that had it, I actually clicked on the picture because that play button on there, the YouTube logo on the billboard, I thought that was an actual thing that would make it do something.
It didn't work, huh?
No, do you remember when YouTube sponsor the World Series a few years ago? And they had one of those buttons behind the plate on the thing.
That's right. And I remember
my kid walked up and touched the TV because he thought something was going to happen.
That's right. That's fantastic. Yeah. That's these days, I've done this. I'm embarrassed to say it, but I've done this. You ever read a book and there's a big picture in the book and you try to zoom in?
Because I got to use these things to see. Right. If I'm on a Kindle or an iPad, I'm in good shape, but a paper book or a newspaper, and I get real mad. I get real right. mad when a magazine, I'm like, I want to see how they did that. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So anyway, I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about the billboard on opening day because all right, if Chris is going to do this, I'm going to, if you're not watching
I'm
not on.
Chris. I'm not Chris anymore. I'm Clark Kent. You don't recognize me.
Oh man. So anyway, we got jokes. Thank you all for doing it. I'm interested that it has actually gotten some traction locally and Bob's going to ignore it, but at least we got to say what we wanted to say. So
did you guys talk about his the story that the Inquirer put out yesterday?
We did not. The Inquirer story yesterday. Actually, I was surprised a little bit. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. So, and I'm going to, I wasn't prepared for this, so I'm a little bit off. But between, I think, one of the beat reporters, I don't know if it was Charlie or Bobby, and then the Inquirer's business reporter.
It was Bobby. Bobby Nightingale.
Was it Bobby Nightingale? They did a really well, I thought, fair and well-reported and researched dig into basically what the heck's going on over there. And, they did the kind of standard thing, which was, the Reds invested a bunch of money before the 2020 season. COVID happened. They didn't have any money that year. But then tried to peel back at least one layer of the onion, that is MLB team finances. And, got into how much they really lose, how much have they made over the years. They mentioned one interesting fact that, when Major League Baseball had created Major League Baseball Advanced Media, which was a technology company that powers MLB.com, MLB TV, Disney Plus, it's the back end for a lot of powerful services. MLB sold off a good chunk of that a few years ago. And I think every team, would they get $50 million or $60 million?
$1 billion. I don't remember.
But they said it was interesting that was the only time that the Reds cashed that out and gave it to the owners. And so they said that's the only time they've done it, but we do have proof that at least one time the Castellinis and apparently the other partners took a payout from team operations. So,
which contrasts with Kessler's bragging to Paul Daugherty before last season about he's never made a cash call to the other owners to try to fund the team. Yeah,
You would never have to do a cash call to fund a Major League Baseball team. A bank is going to loan you money against the equity in that business in 10 seconds. There is absolutely no problem with cash flow. But if you decided that you're going to run your Major League Baseball team on a positive cash flow basis every year, then, which I don't really know they did, but I think on certain years they've decided that, then it leads you to decisions like we've seen. Now, the more interesting part of that article, in my opinion, was the part that briefly looked at his other non-baseball related businesses and things I didn't know. I'd heard the story that he owned a resort in the Phoenix area and he recently sold that. I'd heard some kind of rumors and speculation about what that meant, but I didn't really think it meant much necessarily. But I didn't know that the Castellini company, the produce company, had laid off so many people during the pandemic and after. And that, at least as the article positioned it, it wasn't just people stopped going to restaurants, so the produce suppliers had to kind of reconfigure and repackage and that kind of thing we read a lot about back a couple years ago. It sounded like they were under pressure generally. And they were moving into more of a specialty niche about refrigerated trucking or something like that, which I thought that was really interesting. And I don't know how much money the guy has in the bank and how much of his personal situation is tied up in that business and how much that affected him. And to be clear, the Reds' answer was not. It didn't. Nothing about, everything's great and everything's fine and none of that's affecting the team. But where I end up on it is if you have one person calling the shots, which the Reds do, ultimately, we've learned that Bob Castellini signs off personally on every trade, on every free agent, on every major decision, that you're then subject to that person's how they feel on a given day. I remember one famous rich person was asked about his net worth, and he said, well, it kind of depends on how I feel on a given day. I think that how the Reds operate is based a lot on how that guy feels on a given day. And if he's feeling pressure from a business over here, he's feeling it. And even if he walks into the stadium and you tell him we're fine over here, he may have a different approach and a different view of circumstances, and he may evaluate things from a different perspective than he might have if, everything was churning off cabbage on the other side.
Yeah, it was. There's good reason to dream media, quote unquote, for the purpose of this discussion. But there's been some allegations that local media has kind of carried water for feedback that they were not going to talk about it a lot because the Reds were going to give them crap about it. I won't mention any names. I will say that this piece by Bobby Nightingale, and I can't remember the business reporter's name. I'm sorry. I hate that I forget that, but it was a good piece. It was as good a piece as I've seen from local media about the Reds in a long time. And it's worth a read if you get a chance to go look at it. What you're saying, Chris, really kind of reminds me of what I said to someone earlier today, which was that I think just in the last few weeks, we saw some evidence of what you're talking about. The Reds trade Jesse Winker. They get rid of all these guys. And then it really looked an awful lot like Castellini said, I don't know which Castellini, but one of the Castellinis said, got to cut payroll. And then fans started screaming. And so they go out and get Tommy Pham. It's like one day he walks into the office and says, oh no, this is not good. We need to get somebody, I don't know if that's what happened behind closed doors, but that's what it seems like.
It sure does. Doesn't it? It feels like, you know, I think we've talked about it before, like forward, reverse, but it does feel like that. It feels like, cause I mean, they made that Tucker Barnhart move and that Wade Miley move. What? Literally the day after the World Series.
Yes.
The first they could do it. So somebody all September had been saying, we got to cut this payroll down. And so they did. And then they had the lockout and everything was on pause as far as transactions go. But clearly, as soon as the lockout was over, you know, Sonny Gray is out the door and Eugenio Suarez with Jesse Winker tied to his tail is out the door. And then it feels like there was a conversation that said, what the hell? Well, boss, you told us to cut payroll. Well, I didn't mean that. We don't have anybody on this team. Give me some guys that I've heard of. And so I honestly, I have never seen the Reds sign so many 34-year-old guys that are maybe they'll be okay and maybe they won't at market rates too. That's the other thing about all those signings. None of those guys are going to be great, but they paid sticker price for Tommy Pham and for Donovan Solaro and for Hunter Strickland. Like none of those guys are like took a bargain deal to come to Cincinnati reclamation project. They're like dudes at the tail end of their career that'll probably be okay, but you might get stuck holding the bag on one or two of them, and they paid full rate, which is not like, I almost think I've gone through the looking glass, but I'm like, is that the new inefficiency? Is that the new money ball, like paying market rate right. deals for 34-year-olds? Because I mean, like traditionally, even going back 30 years, 40 years, like that's what Moneyball was about, was learning that paying market prices for 34-year-olds is a bad idea. Like free agent dudes. You know what I mean? But who's the other? I'm forgetting. There's one more guy.
The whole system flipped so much. That's now.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, well, you know, look, as much as I beat those guys up, I do try to like interrogate myself and say, am I just like hammering them for everything? Is there some kind of like so crazy it might work to this? I don't think so. It's not like those guys are, I mean, I don't know. What are they paying Tommy Pham? $7 million? Is that what it is?
Yeah. Well, that's what they were going to pay Jesse Winker.
If Tommy Pham's a two-win player, they come out ahead. And if Donovan Solaro is a one-and-a-half-win player, they come out ahead. So, now, I think the problem is you can't, like, get a whole team like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, being, like, this much better than you're paying for isn't how you win a World Series. You have to get the guy that is a 6-win player that you pay $12 million, or a 4-win player that you pay $1 million,
right?
And like three of those dudes.
I just what confuses me is they had a younger Tommy Pham and Jesse Winker. They were going to pay the same amount. They had Wade Miley, who's the exact same player, probably a little better bet than Mike Minor. Making the same amount, it just screams of just the strategy changes every day. And I wish smart enough to know what's going on. And so I'm like,
you,
maybe we just don't, they're playing 8D chess and we can't understand it.
It's just really hard to understand. It's just really hard to understand. Again, I went on this the last time. There's just no way I'm going to be able to understand the Miley Minor circus. Like,
no.
How you're like, I can't afford Wade Miley in November, but I can afford Marvin Minor in February.
Right, right. Millicent Minor. Let's answer some viewer mail questions. Shall we?
We shall.
Thank you. Yes. Okay, so some viewer mail questions. These come from our friends at patreon.com/riverfrontcincy, where you too can support the podcast. First comes from Kyle Kapler. Kyle's question, how bad would Nick Kroll be at AIDS? This is why I like these questions. That's a completely ludicrous question, and I kind of love it. I don't know how to answer that.
Is charades the one where you have to like mime it out, or are you allowed to talk?
No, you're not allowed to talk. So he'd be good.
Yeah.
Right.
We know. Yeah, where he'd be really bad. He'd be really bad at like the $10,000 pyramid, where you have to like give people clues as to what you mean, but not say the word itself.
There you go. Yeah, the pyramid game. He couldn't do that $20,000 pyramid or whatever. Right. Yeah. Because he's bad at talking. We established that last year. Yeah, he'd be great at charades. Nick Kroll, great at charades. If you heard nothing else tonight, that's what you need to take away. What's on the menu tonight to kick off the season? On the menu? I had a dog at the local high school baseball game.
Oh, a concession
stand. That's my menu. Chris has a quadruple IPA.
That's right. I'm on my fourth IPA.
By the sixth inning, they're selling full pizzas. I was saying, by the sixth inning, they were selling pizzas for $5.
Ooh. Now, are these Papa John's?
Exciting. What's on your menu?
Was it Papa John's, though?
Probably, yeah. One, but probably.
We had some sort of Mexican casserole. We had two practices in a game tonight, so it's Crock-Pot. Crock-Pot quinoa Mexican casserole.
Sounds good.
I'll package you up a bag.
Please do, yeah. Dwight Kelly, so we have the shirts. We have the billboard now. What's next? You know, nothing's next. I don't know what's next. You all tell me. Fun.
Oh, you know what's next?
What's next?
An airplane with smoke coming out of the back of it. Spelling out, sell the team, Bob. There's got to be one of those dudes written Cincinnati, right?
You would not probably. Related, you would not believe the number of people that have tweeted at me saying, billboard over the last 6 months, but why don't we hire a plane to drag a banner, Great American Ballpark, on opening night, opening day, whenever they're, yeah.
I honestly will tell you that as long as you get a time when he's there,
I don't know.
The plane will drive him absolutely up the wall.
That's a good point.
The plane will, there's something about those airplanes that drives executives batty.
Maybe that should be our next project. I really don't want to try to raise more money. This was fun. I don't want to do it again, but maybe. Rich Thompson. Okay, Rich has a multiple choice question for us here, Chris.
C.
No, that's clearly the wrong answer. Let me read it to you. Spring has sprung. MLB season is here, and we are all full of optimism. I am full of optimism. But which of the following are you most optimistic about? A, the Reds make playoffs. B, Senzel, that's Nick Senzel, has a monster year where he is the All-Star Game and League MVP. C, Chad Dotson earns an honorary Cincinnati Community Service Award for his Sell the Team, Bob campaign. Or D, all of the above.
Oh, gosh. I think C is the most likely of any of those three things to happen.
That actually might be true. No, I think A, the Reds make the playoffs are the most likely. I mean, I love Senzel. I think I'm hopeful. If he stays healthy, he's going to be great. He's not going to go to the All-Star game and league MVP probably. I'm not going to win any awards for this Luke Bob thing. So, but that actually might be the most likely of Rich's ridiculous choices. All right, last questions. Parsing. Joe, whenever Chris Garber may make an appearance, always tries to find a Simpsons question. And by the way, Joe, thank you. Joe is instrumental in the thing. He's the one that priced it, talked to the company. Thank you. His question is this. Bob Castellini is... that?
I didn't know that. Thank you, Joe. Well done.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe was instrumental. His comment question, Bob Castellini is worse than C. Montgomery Burns, and if you include the whole blocking out the sun thing, all in agreement. That's his. Are we in agreement that he's worse than C. Montgomery Burns?
I mean, Burns is, I'll leave this is with you, pretty Chris. Malevolent. Burns is pretty darn evil. I don't think Castellini is Burns. It's more of a Grandpa Simpson owning the team situation from the way I see it. There's no plot.
Well, Joe also
to blot out the sun. Yeah.
Joe also says that Nick Kroll is Principal Skinner. To yeah. which I would add would be who in the Reds organization is Disco Stew? Joey Votto maybe.
Joey Votto is getting there. He is definitely getting there. I do like that Principal Skinner thing because I can see Kroll being called into the office like Superintendent Chalmers.
Super Nintendo Chalmers?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I like that. At some point, we should devote an entire episode of the show to which Simpsons character is which Red.
Oh, we're going to do this.
I'll go all the way back. I'll go all the way back to, like, Dan Dreesen is Lenny.
I got to think this one through.
He's not. Gary Reedus is Lenny. But
oh, clearly. Yeah. I just want to know who's Ralph Wiggum. Who is Ralph Wiggum?
Wayne Krivsky.
I have to think this one through.
I think it's Wayne Krivsky.
Krivsky fell English? Possible. Oh, my.
I think Wayne Krivsky had a crayon up his nose once.
I think so. All right. I think that's a good place to stick a pin in it. The Reds are winning 6-1, top of the eight. So, yeah, that's good. Nick's 2-0 right now. Oh, 2-1. Chris, thanks for joining us here. I guess the last thing I'll ask you is, do you have optimism? Does the fact that opening day's here and kind of the Field of Dreams gooiness about opening day, do you have any kind of optimism?
You know I don't like that crap, but I'm glad that I can watch baseball. I'm glad that I can watch baseball every day for the next 6 months. That's really cool. The truth of it is, I canceled my MLB TV, and then my goofy son went ahead and signed up for it on his phone because he wanted the free trial, and then he forgot to cancel it. So he wants to watch the stupid Cubs. But I want to watch Ohtani, and I want to watch Bryce Harper, and I want to watch, like, all the cool players in the league. And unfortunately, not all the cool players are on the Reds anymore. So I'm excited for baseball. I'll watch Reds baseball. I'm still not optimistic. I've been wounded.
I'm trying to be optimistic here, but it's just, we've devoted all this time over our lives to talking about the Reds, to thinking about the Reds, to writing about the Reds, hash brown, sell the team, Bob. Anyway, since they'll just struck out. Riverfront, you can find us at YouTube. You can find us at Facebook, Instagram. I don't know, all these social media places. Patreon.com/RiverfrontCincy. That's where you can support the podcast if you want. I am Chad Dotson. He is Chris Garber. And how do I end this? For Chris Garber and, Brandon Drury. This is Chad Dotson saying, so long, everyone.